This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9. Bent Notes is our weekly jazz program going to air each Sunday night.
Fem Balling is my special guest tonight here on Bent Notes. She is a vocalist and a violinist. She was raised in South Africa, has performed on stage musicals or in stage musicals in South Africa, London and Australia, and since 2007 has been a resident of Australia, continuing her presence in stage musicals, as well as spending more time in the jazz world. And it's my pleasure to bid a very warm welcome indeed to Bent Notes to Fem Balling. Welcome, Fem.
Hi, thanks for having me.
It is my pleasure indeed, but first up, I need to say something.
Yes.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
I couldn't resist that, Fem.
Oh, that is so. In fact, I believe that may have been the most extravagant and special birthday serenade that I've ever had.
It was from Vicky Down and his gag band.
Oh, and it couldn't have been any better. Oh, that is so beautiful. Thank you so much. That's wonderful.
You're having a birthday later in the week.
I am indeed. There's a lot of things happening this week. There's a lot of celebrations and birthdays. So I'm making it a full excuse to get amongst all the live music that's happening in Melbourne.
Well, I should think you should. It'll be a fantastic week for you, particularly you're performing the... I'm pleased to see that you're not performing in the Melbourne Women's International Jazz Festival on your birthday. You've actually got that date yourself.
But I might have been able to sort of guilt people to come to the gig that way. I might have been able to say, you know, well, if you don't want to come to the music, come for a drink with me because it's my birthday. So I'm not sure if that's a double-edged sword.
Well, maybe you can invite them out two nights.
Let's do it. Let's find something to do on the 6th. There's actually some great music happening for the festival, so I might actually even be at the Jazz Lab on the 6th celebrating my birthday.
Oh, that sounds like a great way to go. Indeed.
Yep, totally.
Now, having wished you a very happy birthday for December 6th, I must ask you that, coming from a musical family, was there ever any doubt in your mind that music would feature strongly in your career?
I tried to rebel against it, you know, as any good teenager does. I tried to not follow in the footsteps of my family. You know, I tried to be my own person. I went actually down the ballet route and then realised it was futile. As much as I enjoyed the ballet, I was always going to become somewhat involved in the music world. I just wasn't sure how in-depthly involved. And now as a band leader and, you know, composer and things, I'm right in it. And it's a good world to be in, particularly here in Australia. There's some very, very exciting things happening.
That's good to hear. Do you recall the moment when you decided that music was going to be it? Or was it something
that
crept up on you?
I'm not sure that I had an epiphany. You know, I would always perform with my dad. I would always, you know, be on stage. But I never thought that that was what I was going to do. I love the world of variety, you know, getting on stage, telling a story. And I think I approach my music in that way. But I do remember the moment that I realized I wanted to be a solo artist. I used to play in the orchestra as a kid, you know, as musicians do. We go through the youth orchestra, and in the youth orchestra, I turned around to my parents and I said, I don't want to play in the youth orchestra anymore. My mom, you know, thought something terrible had happened. She was like, why? And I said, well, they can't see me because I'm up the back.
Because you play violin.
So I do play violin. So I was playing violin in the youth orchestra and I didn't like it one bit. I needed to be down front and creating. So I remember that moment very vividly.
And when you told your parents that you were no longer going to be in the orchestra as the violin down the back, that you were going to be solo, what was their reaction?
I think they knew long before I did that is exactly what was going to happen. I think they knew. You know, the doorbell would go in my house and I'd have a little show prepared for whoever was coming in.
Oh, really?
I mean, the guy to fix... singing... Paying whoever it was, you know, my dad's a lawyer and he sometimes had clients come over to sign documents. I would have a show prepared for them, you know, completely inappropriate as a kid. You know, they might be coming over to sign divorce papers and there I am, you know. There is no business here. So
oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah, yeah. It was a great way to grow up, you know, with such support, supportive parents, knowing that that's what you're going to do, I think.
And I've learnt that you were on stage and have been on stage in quite a few musicals over the years, South Africa, London and Australia. Was that...
Yeah, I've had an incredible dual career in those worlds. Musical theatre is very much part of who I am. I love the world of musical theatre. I love that people burst into song when they love someone and burst into song when they hate someone and burst into song when they're angry at someone. And I was on the West End in London for 7 years. And even here, now and again, if the right role comes along, I dabble in musical theatre here. It's great.
It's certainly something that really is very enjoyable from an audience member's perspective, to be able to sit in that audience and, as you say, have these people singing to song for whatever reason happens to be around at the time.
And my other half is completely on the opposite side of that. He'll turn around to me and go, "Why are they singing again? We got it. We understand. You know, that you're in love. Why are they so?" I know musical theatre can be a love hate, and I think also jazz can be a love hate thing as well. You know, a lot of people are like, "What is that noise?" You know, I think it's our job to win them over somehow.
Is that because jazz is such a wide ranging range of music?
Absolutely. And you know what I think? You know what I think happened? I think at some point someone has been exposed to a certain type of jazz more than others. You know, that jazz was a thinking man's music, which excluded people who wanted to listen to something easy. And so I think the black and white that people put jazz in is not true. You know, people are like, jazz is this kind of a thing and jazz is that kind of a thing. Where I think it's a very fluid kind of a genre. It could be anything. I mean, it could swing, it could be improvisation, it could be singing, it could be instrumental, it could be, I mean, how exciting.
It's certainly something that I've learned over the years. When I was growing up, jazz was the big band. That was it, big band swing. That was jazz. Maybe Frank Sinatra out there as well, of course, but of course he was in front of a big band, so it all sort of fitted together nicely.
I think it's exposure. It's exposure. It's what people are exposed to. You know, if someone, you know, perhaps heard Coltrane or someone, you know, going crazy on an improvisation and that was what they were exposed to, they would be like, that was the noise I heard, as opposed to being exposed to something else. I often, you know, people will come up to me and go, "Oh, I don't really like jazz, but I really enjoyed what you did." you know, or I'm like, "Well, you know, do you enjoy Frank Sinatra?" "Oh, yes."
Yeah.
They don't make those two connections. And I think it's sad sometimes. They might miss out on some beautiful music.
That's where the festivals, I suppose, come in so well, because you can have a bit of a dabble in a range of different things through festivals without having to get oversubscribed to 2, 3 or 4 hours sessions and have a sense of it. And then decide what you like and what you don't like.
And a celebration of the diversity of it, you can sort of tap in and out. I think you're absolutely right. So special.
Certainly at Wangaratta this year, there was such a range of music from the traditional big band and the small trad jazz groups right through to some very intricate multicultural music, which is amazing.
This is how it should be. You know, jazz always represented what was happening in the world. I mean, jazz should be representative of what's happening now. You know, the notion that jazz is a generational thing, I think, is completely blown out the water now. You know, you can't let jazz sit on a shelf and get dusty. You've got to keep it happening. And if it's commenting on what's happening now, this multicultural world that we're living in, and all these beautiful influences are coming into the music, I think we can only benefit from this. It's so wonderful to be part of it. You know, I'm from South Africa, and you know, the South African influence really informs my music and my musical choices.
When you were growing up, were you conscious that moving into the jazz world was a world that was, in a sense, a very male-dominated world?
I wasn't conscious of it when I was growing up, no. I grew up in a society that didn't allow everyone to have the same rights. And so I think my awareness on inequality came from a racial side of things, growing up in South Africa during apartheid. I had more opportunities than my black contemporaries did. And so I think I was more aware of that, mm-hmm. and have always been very aware to be inclusive. But now that I'm living in Australia, I definitely see that side of it, which has brought me to this new concept that I'm doing, this new group, which is pretty exciting, which is hopefully going to raise the visibility of women in jazz.
Which is very important to do. From what I've seen over the last 10 years, it's changing. It is, the visibility is becoming better.
That's right. And I think I think by talking about it and just by having it out there and, you know, creating projects that not all of them have to be super successful, but we have to invest in movement forward, I think.
Has that aspect of the industry been something in your consciousness as you've been working through your various projects in more recent years?
I want to answer that with two answers. I want to say yes and no, because I turned around one day and suddenly realized that I was performing regularly with two female jazz musicians, and I all of a sudden thought, oh, I didn't do that consciously. It wasn't a conscious choice to perhaps hire a female. I was just, they were my mates and we were performing, and I suddenly realized how I'd been contributing so easily without forcing anything. And then the minute I thought, oh, well, let's do something about this, you know, whenever it was a specific thing to be female, then I became very aware of it and suddenly realized I had to do things one way. But it's yes and no from me.
I'll accept a yes and no answer. From your involvement in the industry, what do you think needs to be done to continue to improve this equality between male and female jazz musicians?
I think we need to instill a sense of adventure and excitement about the jazz at a school level. I don't think it comes from the players that are out there. I mean, the players that are out there at the moment have chosen that world because they love it and they're already interested in it. It's what happens at perhaps a high school level when everyone has to pick a musical instrument and play in a band, and that is statistically where the females drop out. So it's a case of less females are auditioning for schools. And I think if we can put things in place where we see more female role models in instrumental work and in improvisational work and composing work, that will inspire younger females to get into the industry and do it in an organic way. So it's not a tokenism. So it's a real influence in the industry.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Find more Joycasts and show blogs, go to joy.org.au.
Fem, that was a piece from the album Royal Swazi Spa, African Puzzle. It was African Puzzle Part 2, being jazz with a South African note. But your new project premiering at the Jazz Lab as part of the Melbourne Women's International Jazz Festival. Now, let's see if I can get this pronounced correctly. Conchay. And described brief form as a meeting of Australian, South African and Korean.
That's right.
How did I go through the pronunciation?
I went there with the... The name of the band is Conscious.
Conscious.
However, I spelt it with the she at the end.
You did.
Which just is a little nod, just raising the visibility and the awareness of my beautiful fellow women in jazz. And also just being conscious about the decisions we make and the choices that we make, perhaps out there in the big world, in the world of music, in the world of education. I think it's time, I suppose my little byline is, we are conscious, always. 21st century woke jazz, straight out of Melbourne. That's the new band.
That's the new band. Conscious.
That's the new band. And we're having our premiere at the Women's Jazz Festival at the Jazz Lab on the 7th of December. And I am so excited. We're in the middle of rehearsals as we speak.
Yeah.
And the band is sounding so incredible. And I just get to play music and hang with my mates.
Isn't that wonderful?
I couldn't think of a better world.
Are you just vocal or you're violin as well?
No, it's a very much a vocal and violin thing. Simultaneously.
Oh, really?
Really working on a new sound and some fun explorations in that world. And we've got Mina Yu on the piano, hails from Korea.
Marvelous.
And she's just a monster. She's taking over Melbourne. We have Tamara Murphy on bass.
Fantastic bass player.
We're at Tamara's house right now. She's just a wonderful bass player. She's bringing so much groove and soul to it. We've got Angela Davis, who recently moved back from New York and
yes.
now lives here in Melbourne. And we've got Jacob Evans on drums, who is just killing it in the groove department. So I'm really excited. It's sort of groove-based, political, conscious jazz. Go figure. I don't know. Groove-based, political, conscious jazz.
I don't know what to say about that.
No, that's the idea. Maybe we'll let the music do the talking.
Yeah. Now, you described the performances as a live performance, political prose and the primal magic of music combined.
So I'm bringing a little bit of, you know, coming from a country where it took a new generation to see the oppression and the horrific treatment of people. And I've taken, you know, some South African political prose from a lot of the political writers, perhaps some speeches themselves, a lot of Australian Aboriginal, and I've worked them into lyrics and as prefaces to some of the songs. So I want music to make people think and feel. And when I started writing this, I wasn't expecting it to be so hard-hitting. I was expecting to just write some beautiful tunes and make some music. It's come from somewhere, and I think it's time that we used what we have to bring another voice to the awareness of what's happening around us.
Well, it's
and I think music is that voice.
It's interesting that music can be that voice without people realising just how much into things the music is taking them.
Exactly. Mm. Exactly. That's what I mean. The primal magic of it. You might be feeling something you hadn't felt before without pushing that feeling, without knowing that that's what's happening.
Did you find that once you started, it got easier?
No. Crippling self-doubt kicked in and I started to question all my choices. This is the first time I've departed from a land of standards, you know,
yes.
of great standards. And it's so easy to reimagine someone else's music than it is to have faith in your own, I think. It's been a really, really crazy and awesome process, and working with this band has been a salve on my soul. You know, I've turned to them and like, oh, does this work? And they're like, yeah, it's cool. You know, really supportive. You know, and if they told me it wasn't, then, you know, I would believe them as well.
Right.
It's been a really, really great thing. And I can't wait to get this project out there to the world. It's really exciting. And it's time Australia represented, you know, on that front as well.
I'm getting excited just hearing about it.
Awesome.
So did you start off with the idea that you'd write 10 songs and that each one would be about a different aspect of political consciousness?
I did a big trip around the world the beginning of this year, and as I wrote, you know, sitting on a bus in Mexico and in Cuba, really looking at the surroundings, not necessarily the tourist side of things, but really what's happening, I sort of was writing a lot of, you know, sort of one-line sentences of things of how I felt, so I didn't forget. I sort of look back on that and I suppose I essayed a thought process into a song and then put another one in. And then I put my thinking brain on and I thought, right, how do we make this work for an audience listening? Hopefully, you know, I mean, there's a song that I just wrote that we've put in about the beautiful children that are taking to the streets to change the world, you know, in Australia, those school kids who are taking on the government. So I thought, well, this is something we need to write about.
So that song's just literally been written?
That's right, and I'm about to go and rehearse it with the band. Once we finish our chat, I'm going to go tell them all about it.
Well, that sounds like an amazing idea behind putting this project together. I noticed that you've got it scheduled for a couple more times in the relatively near future, but it's premiering this Friday night, December the 7th. 9 o'clock is showtime at the Jazz Lab, 27 Leslie Street, Brunswick. All the details are available to mwijf.org for Conscious.
That's right. Everything's on my website as well. And I just want to say thanks so much for always supporting our beautiful Australian jazz industry, David. It's really amazing. It's people like you who keep our music out there and allow us to create more. And thank you.
My pleasure indeed, Fem. I really do enjoy chatting with yourself and others who are in the music industry. And it is all about getting stories out there, getting our listeners to hear different types, like a festival where you can get a little bit of that, a little bit of something else, and say, well, I like this, I don't like that. And now we have been introduced to Conscious, and I look forward to hearing it on Friday night at the Jazz Lab.
I know, I can't wait to bring it to everyone and hear what, you know, everyone thinks. It might, you know, people might come up to me with all sorts of ideas to write about. So I'm hoping it's an interactive experience.
I have no doubt it will be. The enthusiasm coming through your voice, Fem, is just amazing to hear, because you can talk to people and they can talk about what they're doing, but you are enthusing the project. It's great to hear.
Thank you so much. And I'll see you and all your listeners, hint, hint, at the
exactly.
on Friday.
And they can get their tickets at nwijf.org. My guest has been Melbourne vocalist and violinist Fem Balling. Thank you so much, Fem. Look forward to seeing you Friday.
See you soon, David.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.